We're starting Parshas Bamidbar. Starting Parshas Bamidbar. There is going to be a pause in the middle of over here because of the stakes that are coming out. But Vayedavra Hashem Moshe Midbar Sinai Ba'ol Moed Be'achal Chodesh. Hashem spoke to Moshe Midbar Sinai in the desert of Sinai in the Ol Moed, in the first of the month of the second month, which is the first Rosh Chodesh year. Bashan Hashem is in the second year. Let's say some Eretz Mitzrayim Lamor. When they left Eretz Mitzrayim, saying you got to count Bnei Yisrael. So everybody puts this together. They put together the last pasuk of last week's Parshas Bechukosai. Eila Hamitzvos. So Shetziva Hashem is Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Bar Sinai. These are the mitzvos that Hashem commanded Moshe to Bnei Yisrael Bar Sinai. And then it says Bemid Bar Sinai. So Balaturim says, and a couple Rishonim say this, in order to learn Torah, in order to do the mitzvos, you need to make yourself like a desert. Now I know it's like, it sounds like one of those jokes, like make yourself like a tree and leave. You're gonna make like a banana and split. Make yourself like a desert and learn. It's good, right? Yeah, I know.
Did you get that?
But the idea is something, it says, Eino yochol leida Torah mitzvah. So unless you make yourself like a desert, Eino yochol leida Torah mitzvah. You know, you won't be able to know Torah mitzvah. What in the world does that mean? And why not? What in the world does that mean? So the Moshev Zakenim says, also, he compares a bunch of things together. He says, not only a midbar, you have to make yourself like fire, water, and desert. All three. So you have to make yourself like them. Why? He says, the Moshev Zakenim says, because all three are hefker, so too Torah has to be hefker, and that you have to be an unav and shuffle in order to get it. However, there's a famous Kovitz memo. And I think I said this last year, but it's worth saying over again. Kovzmar is Rabbochanan Wasserman. Rabbochanan Wasserman asked this one famous question. He says, if Aristotle wasn't able to figure out, if Aristotle wasn't able to figure out that there's a God, he wasn't able to do it, how can we expect a 13-year-old boy who just became bar mitzvah to realize that there is a God? Why in the world, how in the world could it be that Aristotle couldn't figure it out? The smartest man in the world that could have ever lived, according to the Rambam, couldn't figure it out. We expect a 13-year-old kid who just got permits for this guy should be able to do it. The end of his life, that's true. But according to the Kovitz, so what does Rabbi Yochanan say? The answer is, Rabbi Yochanan says, because he has taivas. He has inner desires, as Gabriel just said. He has taivas. He has inner reasons to not keep the Torah. It's considered like bribery. It's like shochad. It's a bribery that convinces him not to do what he really wants to do. So if you have that shochad, if you have that bribery in you, you'll never be able to learn Torah. Because you always have those taivas. You'll never be able to do mitzvahs because you always want to do those other things that are convincing you to do otherwise, the same way that Aristotle never could understand that there's a God. But as a 13-year-old boy, if you go up to him and say, get rid of those taivas, get rid of that bribery, then you'll be perfectly fine. So if you make yourself like a desert, what is a desert? There's nothing there but sand. Nothing there. If you get rid of all your taivas and make yourself dead like a desert, completely gone, just sand, no taivas whatsoever, then you'll be able to sit and learn. You'll be clear-headed and you'll be able to sit and understand everything that's going on without any problems. The best thing to do this, one of the best ways of doing this, is by sitting and just saying Tehillim. I mean, it works for Pesukah de Zimra. We just say Tehillim in order to bring ourselves to be able to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be able to have everything said straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tehillim helps so much that you have absolutely no idea. The Amir Ratzin back then, in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov said that those people were greater than any people that were learning at the time. Because once they were able to open themselves up, they didn't have any taivas for anything else. The Tehillim that they said, those words that they said, even if you don't know what it means, as long as you pronounce the words correctly, and even if you do it slowly, those words have such protection over you, nothing can come in. Nothing will be able to penetrate you. Your head will be full of Tara, and nothing will be able to get inside there. And of course, you're going to have those little tiny bits of diddim, little thoughts of tune that come in, but you'll be able to quickly knock them out. You'll be able to knock them out just as quickly as they come in. That's the idea behind it, and that's the idea of why you have to be like a midbar. Make yourself like a midbar, and you'll be perfectly fine, and especially if it's midbar Sinai. Make yourself something like that, and then everything will be perfectly fine. Now, that's our Moser for today. Let's go to the next pasuk. So as Rosh Chodesh, B'nei Yisrael, L'mishpachos, L'vaseivos, Misvar, Shemos, Kol Zachar, L'Gugulos, and count every male by their heads. I love this vort. I must have said it for the past 7 years. This is the best vort ever. L'Gugulos, and by their heads. Later on, when we count B'nei Levi, in Perek Dalid, when we count a Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tesvav, it says, Pekodes B'nei Levi, L'vaseivos, L'mishpachos, count them up, Kol Zachar, M'ben Chodesh, V'mal, Tif Kedem. Every male from a month and up, count them. But it doesn't say by head. What happened to their heads? Over here, counted by the head. By B'nei Yisrael, by the head. But by Levim, it's not. Why? The answer is because how did Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu actually count B'nei Yisrael? So when they counted, there was the Machzeh Shekel originally. Question is this that one with the Machzeh Shekel, or is the Machzeh Shekel only in Parshas Pinchas? The big machlok is how they did it. According to one opinion, it was Legul Golosim. They actually counted by head. They went up to each person's head and counted one head, two head, three heads, everything like that. They ended up counting by the head. That was Legul Golosim. That's how they ended up counting them, within each person's head. However, there's a problem. What if somebody had two heads? So, somebody with two heads, according to the Gemara Munachos, cannot live for longer than two. He definitely cannot live for a long time. It's considered a trefa. He's for sure going to live within a year. He's not going to live past the year. They say, okay, maybe he'll be able to live a little bit past that, but he won't be able to go any further than that. He won't be able to live for that long. B'nai Yisrael were counted from when? When do we start counting B'nai Yisrael? From the age of 20. And 20 up until 60. When were Levium counted from? From 1 month and up. If you counted B'nai Yisrael by the heads, you didn't have to worry, because everybody had just one head and it was perfectly fine. But if you count B'nai Levi by their heads, it could be that there's going to be a child that has two heads who's going to be counted as two. So you can't count B'nai Levi by their heads, because they're counted from a month and up, and a kid could live a couple months with two heads. So don't count B'nai Levi by heads, only count B'nai Yisrael by heads, then everything's going to be perfectly fine. That's what Google also says.
The beginning of the counting, though, I'm saying, like,
why did they have to?
Yeah,
that Rashi already goes into. We didn't say exactly why, but Rashi does say it's just like you have money. You want to keep counting it to make sure you have enough money. You have all the money inside. No, definitely true. But as long as you know,
we count it from the womb, but we wait till there's a bar kayama. Wait till 1 month. Is that Rashi says?
Yeah, 100% that he was.
Two heads. He's planning for the bar kayama, even if he lives for a month.
It depends. It depends. He can still be out of the level. He can be a trefa and yet still be a bar kayama. I mean, if he dies within the year, he just doesn't die within 30 days. That's not a navel. That's still considered a real kid who's born. It's just unfortunate that the kid has two heads. Nowadays, they don't have such a thing.
How many countings?
Getting rid of it beforehand. It's whatever. Let's just say we're not talking about Siamese twins. It seems pretty obvious that we're not talking about Siamese twins. And the reason why is because Siamese twins don't have two heads. There's no such thing as, they can be conjoined twins. I'm sorry, that's how they call them. I'm sorry, conjoined twins. But they don't have two heads. They have two bodies, or they'll have two parts. But there's no such thing as a person with one head on one shoulder and one head on the other shoulder. That just doesn't happen. You never will find something like that. Yeah, it's just like an alien. However, there's an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says in Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin Mabez that a guy came up to Rebbe and asked Rebbe, it was Plimo. It's a question whether Plimo was a Tana or an Amo, or was he actual Tana, or was he just a Greek philosopher guy who came up to Rebbe when Rebbe was... No, there's been cooler. Kiddi is pretty cool. Karno. Either way, but he went up to Rebbe in the middle of what's it called? He came up to Rebbe in the middle of... he came up to Rebbe in the middle of Shir, and he said to Rebbe, what's the halacha by a guy who has two heads? How much do you get... a guy who has two heads, and which one does he put tefillin? Which head does he put tefillin? Does he need to put on tefillin on both of his heads? What does he do with both of those heads? So Rebbe said, very good answer. He said, Okum gali, either get up and get out of here, or kabo lacha shamtor, I'm going to put you in chair. So it's one of the two. So I don't know what he chose, but I would assume you got out of there. As that was going on, comes along. Is everything ready?
Yeah.
Everything is ready. Okay, so we're going to, as soon as I get that, we'll stop it in 1 second. Thank you very much. So as that was going on, Adahachi, a guy came up to them and said, quick, my wife just gave birth to twins, a baby that has two heads. How much do I give for pitting a bed? 5 shekel kesef or 10 shekel kesef? So they went around, they asked everybody, and one older man from the yeshiva, Rabbi Yochanan, came along and said, you're supposed to give 10 shekel kesef. 10 shekel kesef. So what the unbelievable part is, Tosos quotes down and says, Ba'olam hazeh leka. In this world, there are none. There's no such thing as a two-headed man. Avol b'medrash yesh. But there are a midrashim. That's the most unbelievable line of Tosus. B'medrash yesh. That's the Gemara Munachos Daf Lamed Zayin. So the question is, what does Tosus mean by that? So he brings down a story, but he doesn't finish the story. But I found the story. It's an Otzer midrashim by Eisenstein. We'll have to stay over the story. We'll pause for a second, and we'll come back for station identification. And we'll come right back. Everybody go grab.
Thanks for watching.